As we get older, our needs for care and support change over time. That's why ACAT, the Aged Care Assessment Team, is essential. It's a free service from the Commonwealth to help decide what happens next for you or an older member of the family. At the moment, the assessment is done by an aged care specialist, and it involves an interview with the older person and perhaps a family member or carer being in attendance if needed. The result of that assessment can have a big impact on the kind of help that person gets access to. The federal government recently announced changes to these aged care assessments starting next year. The plan is to put the delivery of these services out to tender, and the government is claiming the result will be a more efficient system that will be quicker to access and deliver better results. However, parts of the aged care sector have raised serious doubts about these changes delivering on that promise, and we're teasing out some of those concerns today. Cathy Eager is a Professor of Health Services Research, and Cathy's already contributed to the Aged Care Royal Commission. Cathy, welcome to Life Matters. Hello, Cathy, are you there?
Hello, Michael.
Oh, hi, there you are. Hello. Cathy, perhaps...
Yes, I am.
Good to hear.
Good morning.
Just wondering if we can start by pulling apart, for those of us who don't know, what ACAT actually does.
Yes, so ACATs have been around for nearly three decades, and they were set up to be independent of both the Commonwealth as the organisation that pays most of the bills, and also independent of providers who deliver the services. And these are expert teams of specialist doctors, nurses, physiotherapists, social workers, and other allied health. And there are 80 of these teams around the country. They've developed enormous expertise over decades, and their role is to independently assess what people need, independent of what the budget is that the Commonwealth's holding and what providers, what might be in the interests of providers, and to identify with the person and their family the best options. And if necessary, they're actually delegated under the Aged Care Act to approve somebody for high-level care, either in their home or in a residential aged care facility, what people would generally call a nursing home.
And Cathy, what triggers one of these 80 teams of ACAT specialists visiting your house and doing that assessment?
Well, for lots of people, they're struggling along at home and doing okay, but only marginally. And for many people, what triggers it is actually a fall or another health condition and they end up in hospital. But often it's also the GP says, look, you really need a higher level of services than we can provide now. And we need to remember that even though in the aged care industry they talk about their My Aged Care, My Gateway, actually the GP is for most people the first point of contact into the system. So people can self-refer to an ACAT, they can be referred by their GP, and they're very often referred by the hospital after somebody's been in hospital, or indeed when they're still in hospital.
Cathy, I'll come back to you. I'd like to introduce now our second guest into the conversation. Eddie Strivens is a senior geriatrician working in the Far North Queensland Health Service, and he's the immediate past president of the Australian and New Zealand Society for Geriatric Medicine. Eddie, you've heard what Cathy's had to say. I think we need to now broaden our definitions of what's going on in this process a little further, because there's a regional, remote and rural part of the service as well called RAS, and I know you're fairly au fait with that.
Yes, thanks, Michael. And I think it's important, some of the points that Cathy's already made, is that this assessment is across the whole of people's care needs. So we have at the moment two levels of assessment. One is by the regional assessment services that look at more base level services. So these are the initial things that people might need when they present for care. And this is things like meals on wheels or a cleaner within the home or some other transport and other meal services.
Right.
And then require it. People who require more complex care then come through to the aged care assessment team. So there's a process, I guess, where people are identified and come through the gateway via My Aged Care, which looks at eligibility, and then are
that's the government website portal, My Aged Care.
So this is the government website portal or telephone number, and then from there are triaged either to a low level assessment, if you like, from one of these RASes, which are made up predominantly of people who are vocationally trained, or a more comprehensive assessment from an interprofessional team made up of nursing, allied health and medical teams. And from there, they look at approval. But more importantly, this is about actually looking at reversible comorbidities as well, and looking at things that can be intervened. So it's not just a case of asking a few questions and then allocating a service. It's actually about diagnosis and assessing older people and determining what are the actions that you want to put in place to either support them in the home or look at methods to maximise their health. If you like, it's what we do is try and diagnose and allow intervention. And really, no Australian should have to enter residential care for the lack of a diagnosis, access to healthcare, or management of treatable diseases.
There's lots to discuss in what you've just said there, Eddie. And if you've just joined us, my guests are Eddie Strivens and Kathy Eager. We have another guest to talk to in a moment. But if you're listening, have you or someone in your family had an aged care assessment? Did it lead to the right outcomes? We're talking here about the present system of assessing what needs might be there for older Australians and how they're assessed. What are your thoughts about the government's plans to put these services out to tender? If you'd like to get in touch, we would love to hear from you. You can drop a comment on the RN Facebook page. Just look for RN Life Matters on Facebook and like us while you're there. Kathy Eager, I might come back to you now. When it comes to this proposal from the federal government, which at the moment sounds like it's a fait accompli, they are planning to introduce a sort of tender process for these services, arguing it's going to be a more efficient delivery of assessment across all parts of Australia, whether you live urban or whether you live in rural, remote or rural parts of the country. And I'm just wondering, what's wrong with a tendering process from your perspective?
Well, the first comment I'd want to make is that I'm really hoping it's not a fait accompli. I'm really hoping that when Commonwealth and State Health Ministers sit down together at the end of February, they actually agree on a way forward that keeps aged care assessment teams going exactly as they are until after the Royal Commission. So I think there's two issues. There's one is it a good idea to demolish a program that's been demonstrably successful for three decades and go to tender on it? And then the second issue is it a good idea to do that now? So if I just start with the now question.
Okay.
The last issue that we need at the moment in the aged care sector, with a Royal Commission due to report in November, is another piecemeal decision. And I do understand that Commonwealth bureaucrats have been wanting to do this, egged on by private providers, since 2014. But this is a piecemeal decision that is really best left until after the government can look at all of the outcomes of the Royal Commission and look at how to redesign the whole of the service system, where assessment and care planning for an older person, it's not just assessment, it's also care planning, can actually be considered in the broader context. So that's the timing issue. If in
Kathy, can I just interrupt if I may and just ask you, you made the comment that this is a bureaucratic decision that's been egged on by aged care providers. What do you mean by that?
Yes, back in 2014, the government created the My Aged Care Gateway we're talking about, and also created this network of regional assessment services for low-level services. And ever since then, there's been conversation between government public servants and private providers of how much more streamlined it would be to get rid of ACAT and have all of that work go to the private sector. But if I go back to the Royal Commission, and there's been literally, there's thousands of pages, it's all on their website, very serious problems have been raised in aged care at the Royal Commission. But the one notable exception is ACAT. On the whole, it does a great job. It needs to be refreshed. It doesn't need to be abolished. And the only real complaint about ACAT has actually been that people are waiting too long. And that's because really that needs to, the funding should have been growing over the last couple of years, and it's been more or less stagnant. So if the gateway worked, that is My Aged Care, people would be triaged, as Eddie just commented, to either low care or high care. So if that's not happening, which is what the department is now claiming, then that problem is actually in the gateway.
Not in the assessment process?
Not in the assessment process. I mean, the issue for me is that decades of experience will be lost in one fell swoop. There is part of the timing for this now is that the Commonwealth State Agreement for ACATS happens to be up on the 30th of June, so it's just opportunistic to jump into the gap now. But in the light of bigger issues in aged care, and those issues are really fundamental failure to better integrate aged care and health care for older people, the way to do that is not to get rid of the ACATS and effectively end the role of the states in aged care, because this is the last role that states and territory, and I don't mean bureaucrats, I mean doctors and nurses, allied health teams, salaried doctors and nurses and allied health teams. This would be the end of their role in the aged care system.
Cathy, I want to come back to you, but also our guest, Eddie Strivens. But let me welcome into the conversation now our third proponent in this discussion. Sean Rooney is the CEO of Leading Age Services Australia. This is the industry association for providers of aged care. Sean, welcome.
Good morning, Michael.
You've heard there some of the comments from both Cathy and Eddie. Is Cathy correct in saying that your industry has been pushing the federal government to allow a tender process so that aged care providers, private ones, can be part of the assessment process?
No, I'm not aware of any advocacy, certainly from our organisation, with respect to that. And I think I'd...
When you say you're not aware, does that mean it hasn't happened?
Well, I'm not aware of it happening. We certainly haven't been advocating for that. I think the starting point here is we all want a system and a service that's going to deliver the best possible care outcomes for older Australians. That system was, the hallmarks of that system is timely assessment, accurate assessment and consistent assessment, irrespective of where you are located in the country, whether you're in the city or in the bush.
And would you argue that the current assessment process for aged care, whether it be in-home care or going to some kind of residence, has not actually met all those benchmarks?
Well, I think if you go back to the review, independent review by David Tune in 2017, this, to my mind, is the genesis of this idea of streamlining the assessment. He looked at the ACAT system, he looked at the RADS system and said he believed that there was inefficiencies and duplication. For example, an individual could have a conversation with a RADS assessor and have to tell their story about, well, this is what's going on in my life, these are the things I need support with, but then might have to tell the same story to an ACAT assessor. And so he found that there was duplication, and so therefore we should look into the idea of having a single assessment team and system consistent across the country.
Can I come back to you on that and say, that sounds to me like double checking, which is not a bad thing?
Well, I think if you listen to Cathy and also to Eddie, that there's organisations and individuals out there that are quite competent and professional and skilled and qualified in doing this. I think what David Tune said is, well, why do we have these two types of teams out and systems, you know, delivering into the Commonwealth Home Support Program, which is one I guess, service available. And then we have a different one for the home care packages and for residential aged care. If an older Australian needs to be assessed for care, surely we could have a more streamlined system and process to deliver that. And that's really the genesis, to my understanding, of this idea of streamlined assessment. David Tune's recommendation went on to say that consideration of the implementation should be staged. And so he was suggesting looking at a single region or a single state as a way to test that model, see if there's any unintended consequences, see if it does deliver better outcomes for older Australians in their assessments, and then decide whether you would look to move to do that nationally. And we would support that.
Do you agree with Cathy Eager when she says she's worried that we're going to see through this tender process the loss of immense amounts of knowledge and skills because of specialists maybe being streamlined in that tender process?
Look, I think that's the the purpose of a tender process is to determine, well, can we do this better? Is there a more efficient and effective way? That's got to be the test for those things. And if there's organisations and individuals that are out there doing this efficiently and effectively right now, I would assume that they would have every opportunity to participate in the process. I get back to the point here is what we need to do is make sure that we have the most effective process and efficient process to deliver the right outcomes. The other point I'd make in support of what Cathy is saying is just fixing or addressing the assessment side of the system doesn't address any of the other big issues in the system that's been identified by the Royal Commission. So we may well be able to have an efficient and effective assessment process that's streamlined, but if there are no home care packages available for older Australians to access, and we know just recently the median time to receive a level 4 home care package in this country is 34 months.
That's almost 3 years.
Almost 3 years, and we know the government department reported to the Royal Commission last year that over 16,000 people regrettably passed away whilst waiting for home care that never came.
Having already been assessed by the process we're discussing.
Exactly. So I think, again, you know, arguing about the most efficient and effective way to do an assessment is one thing, but we really need to be looking at the other parts of the system that actually delivers the care and support and services to enable older Australians to age in their homes or, if required, to be able to get the proper care and support in residential care.
Eddie Strivens, coming back to you, as a senior geriatrician working in far north Queensland, does Sean Rooney have a point that we have too much duplication of assessment going on now, and that this proposal to put it out to tender through the Commonwealth Government means that we could have more efficient delivery of assessment?
Integration is actually a good idea in terms of looking at removing duplication of assessment, and certainly we'd have no arguments with that at all, because what we run is integrated services where we're looking at both the healthcare needs as well as their aged care service needs throughout an interprofessional team. Unfortunately, I think it comes back to Cathy's key questions. Is this the right solution to ensure a more rigorous and integrated assessment model? Probably not, because it's going to remove the fact that we have those interprofessional teams within state health that contribute to assisting ACATS, and ACATS are integrated within those services with geriatric medicine and hospital-based teams, and as well as professionals that you couldn't necessarily access through that program any other way. And the other question is, both Sean and Cathy brought up, is this the right time to make piecemeal changes, which the answer is almost definitely not.
The government's defence, in putting out their proposal for this tender process, they've noted the concerns of the Royal Commission, they say, and they support the recommendation that Sean Rooney alluded to from the 2017 review of aged care. So aren't they disintegrating a recommendation that's already come through another process of examination of the system?
Well, there was quite an extraordinary press release from the Royal Commission just stating that they didn't, in fact, support some of the moves from the Commonwealth to introduce this tender process. And actually what they were supporting was a more integrated assessment model rather than necessarily a tender process to allow more private companies. And I guess the other issue here is around that localness as well. Currently, our ACATS are locally based. They know their patch. They can be very helpful with care planning for the individuals. And I've often had reported to me from clients, from GPs, from community members, that they're really a beacon of hope in the sea of confusion that is around accessing services. And it's about looking at how we can bring that closest to the ground and closest to regional areas. In this new model, the Far North, instead of being a Far North planning region, there's going to be a region that will cover the whole of Queensland north and west of Bundaberg.
That's an really enormous area.
Really, not a small patch to actually know what's happening, to know what the health services are. I mean, really, again, it's coming back to the importance of looking at what the healthcare needs of older Australians are. People do not enter residential care or require complex community services as a social decision. This is on the basis of medical comorbidities, be it cognitive disorders like dementia, be it falls, be it some other complex comorbidity.
Sure.
And if we remove that from the equation, then all we do is just patch the problems rather than solve them.
We're fast running out of time. I want to put to as many people as I can in this conversation something about the potential conflict of interest under this tender process proposed by the government. Cathy Eager, where do you see those areas of stress around conflicts of interest potentially being?
Well, what we're talking about now is a proposal to hand assessment for government-funded services largely over to for-profit business. You know, what could possibly go wrong? Well, pretty much everything could go wrong. The reason for the ACAT model is that the ACAT is independent of both the government and the providers. And I think that is really important for us as taxpayers, that we are really assured that the person doing the assessment does not stand to gain from the outcomes of that assessment.
I might put that to Sean, if I may, Cathy, because that's an important point you raise. So, Sean Rooney, what's to stop an aged care provider in your association getting a successful tender to provide assessment and then recommending through one of their teams that a person that's been assessed go to their aged care home?
Yeah, look, and that exists at present. So there are some of the regional assessment services provide both the assessment service, but also are providers of services in those communities.
That's in regional areas, but this could happen across the board, couldn't it?
Well, look, I mean, our view on that is there needs to be a clear demarcation between someone.
How? How do you do that?
Well, again, I mean, it currently exists in the regional assessment services that they have systems and processes in place that are reviewed and evaluated by the contracting agency, which is the government. I mean, we would argue that there needs to be a very clear process of demarcation, because what we can't have is those perceptions, if not reality, of conflict of interest, because as Cathy said, that would undermine the confidence of the system and would potentially limit the choice for the older Australian wanting to choose a service. And it all comes back to what is the best outcome here for the older person that requires care and support in their home or in their community.
And that's why we're having this conversation
today.
I'm sure before April of 2021, there'll be more to be said on this issue. Can I thank all my guests for today? Professor Cathy Eager, who's Director of the Australian Health Services Research Institute, Dr. Eddie Strivens, who's a senior geriatrician working in Far North Queensland, and with me in the studio, Sean Rooney, CEO of Leading Age Services in Australia, talking here about what needs to change, if anything, about the assessment process for older Australians. Erica Voles, what are you hearing on text, email, Facebook?
We have been inundated with comments. Chris writes, the main issues with ACAT, backed up by the Royal Commissions, is assessors ignoring the medical or other needs of the stated aged person. So the rating for support is too low, and then regardless of the rating, they don't get the package they need because of rationing. Most people on the text line are saying, please don't privatise ACAT. You know, Heather.
Well, the government would argue it's not privatisation.
Yes, okay, yeah. All right then. Heather writes, as far as tendering ACAT away from the present system, it's not a good idea. Having seen the process and care for people in operation, the experience and knowledge isn't driven by profit for providers of care. And this interesting comment, David says the proposed changes are not supported by all for-profit home care providers. I own and operate a very successful for-profit home care service. As a government-approved provider, I do not in any way support the proposed change to ACAT. The current ACAT system is excellent and should be preserved. If there is a problem, there is a problem with the RAS assessors, who often do a poor job. Lots more comments.
And as Sean Rooney, I think, made the point, that pointy end of the system is working markedly better than the services being recommended that people access, because waiting lists for home care packages for level four stretching to almost 3 years, people dying while they wait for that help to come. Erica, thank you. And we'll hear more from Erica a little later. You're with Life Matters here on Radio National.